I think a lot of pastors have had a similar experience to Dr. Robert Osmond, a United Methodist pastor who served in the Atlanta area. In his book, Love is the Answer, he tells about a time when he was visiting a lady in the hospital. She was very appreciative and complimentary to him. In fact, she said these words, "You're the best preacher I've ever heard, and I've read some of your books. You're a great author. You're the sweetest, kindest person in the world, and you're very handsome." Those are the kind of words that can swell a person's head. And right then, her nurse came in, and Dr. Osmond started to excuse himself. She met him at the door and quietly said, "Reverend Osmond, I don't know what she told you, but she's losing her mind, so don't believe a word that she said." And Bob Osmond replied, Oh, she carried on a perfectly grand conversation, and I believe every word she said." I have found over the years that people are generally very kind to their pastors. Certainly that is true here at Crosswinds. We all know that there are some Sunday mornings, though, when things don't go just as they're supposed to. But nobody has ever said to me, "Well, Mike, you kind of stunk up the place today." Well, Jesus had mixed crowds sometimes, too. One of the early followers of Jesus was a doctor named Luke, and he wrote one of the Gospels. Luke tells us that at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus started teaching and preaching at his hometown in Nazareth. It started off very well, but eventually the townspeople rejected Jesus' teaching. I mean, who does he think he is? We know this boy. He grew up here. There's nothing special about him. But then Mark, in his gospel, tells us that Jesus moved away from Nazareth to the area around the Sea of Galilee. He got some fishermen and disciples, and they went to a town named Capernaum, there on the northern shore of the lake. In this town, Jesus again went to the synagogue and began to preach. And you can go there and you can find ruins of this synagogue, and you can stand right where Jesus stood. Jesus began to teach, and this time everybody was astonished with the things that he was saying, and then what he did. So this week and next week, we're going to look at some of the events that took place in that little town. We'll get a glimpse at how Jesus approached and lived out his entire ministry. I think we'll see at the same time the impact that he can have on our lives as well. But here's some things to think about today as we look first at his time in that synagogue. People noticed that Jesus taught with a higher authority than the religious leaders they usually listen to. Those guys were always quoting somebody else. They knew the scriptures backward and forward, cover to cover. But here comes Jesus. They'd never heard anybody speak like him before. He brings a new message and personifies what he says. He announces that God's plans and hopes and dreams, everything that has been promised for the world, all of it's going to be accomplished through him. He isn't shy about his identity. He's not self-centered and narcissistic. He would be known as a kind and compassionate, humble person, servant to all. He clearly announces, though, he has been sent by God. And eventually we would see that he is the incarnation of God, meaning God has come to be amongst us in flesh and blood to help us find our way. And he will help us become alive in grace and love so that we might help invite other people to experience and find faith in Jesus for themselves. This is the great purpose of the church, to find ways to personify what we believe, to let Jesus' life live in and through us. Last week, we lifted up the purpose statement of Crosswinds that was adopted by our board last year. Here it is again. Crosswinds' purpose is to be Christ to all by inviting people into a grace-filled relationship with God, by discipling people on their faith journey, and by healing hurts in a broken world. I love those words. They tell us why our church community is here. We are unified disciples who are empowered by God's Spirit and led by Jesus to bless our polarized world with grace. I wonder if you noticed that this is an action-oriented purpose statement. It cannot remain just words with which we agree. Like Jesus announcing good news in the synagogue, our purpose only accomplishes something when we let these words become alive and become actions in our lives. A lot of people embrace words of grace, words of justice, words of community. And you can know the scriptures backward and forward. But until you allow it to become incarnational in your life, alive in you, it does no good. Philosopher and poet Henry David Thoreau certainly was not a Christian, but he offers us a valuable word when he says this about the New Testament. Most people favor it outwardly. They defend it with bigotry, and they hardly ever read it. Reading the Bible and knowing about God is not enough, though. Jesus invites those in the synagogue that day and those in a community like Crosswinds to follow Jesus and let him live through us. Jesus touched people with a higher level of compassion. No one had ever seen the things that Jesus did. While teaching in the Capernaum synagogue that day, Jesus healed and restored a man who was broken and tormented. And everyone was amazed. Look at this teaching and the authority that goes with it. Jesus is not just talk. He backs up what he says with compassion, action. And it just keeps coming throughout his life. Living with grace and compassion, he heals the sick who were brought to him. Again, he does not do this to draw attention and praise to himself, or to gain a reputation, or to make money, or to have a TV show. He is moved with compassion and touched and welcomes people, because that's what his heart is all about. And he says, follow me and learn from me. Spread God's grace. And Jesus calls people of Capernaum, people of Maple Grove, to have love in action. He gave sight to the blind. He brought food to the hungry, hope to the hopeless, forgiveness to the sinner, encouragement to the broken. And he entrusts this kind of ministry to all of his followers, saying, what you see me do, you do the same thing. We're not called to be people who talk about religion or parade a religiosity or false kind of goodness. We are called by Jesus to enjoy and demonstrate the love of God by reaching out to all of God's children with a high, high level of compassion. There's an old story that ended up becoming a song. It's about an orphan girl who lived in a group home. One day, her social worker observed her walking out to the fence by the road with a piece of paper that she put in a knothole in a tree. When the girl went back to her room, the social worker went out to the tree to find out what was written on the paper. She took it out and read these words, "To whoever finds this, I love you." She put it back in the tree. And the little girl was watching from her room, from the window, to see who might find her note. And in the song that was created, an old man finds the note and is filled with hope and joy as he reads these words. And he looks and he sees the little girl waving to him, and he waves to her from the window. And a great friendship is formed. To whoever finds this, I love you. God sent Jesus, the Son of God, with those words written across his heart and his life. And Jesus, the Son, sends his followers out with those words written across their lives. If you are a follower of Jesus, these words are written across your heart. To whoever you are, I love you. Almighty God, we thank you for coming to us as Jesus and offering us the opportunity of a lifetime to follow him and experience and share his life and grace. We are starting to recognize you as the one who calls us to be your people, sisters and brothers in the family of God. Continue to give us a vision of what we can be as individuals and as a church. And bless those of our church and our community who are sick and need strength which comes from you. Touch them with your healing. And bless the suffering people of the world. And use what we are and what we have to help those in need. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.